Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to another episode of PWT Talks NXT. I'm your host for the evening, Nate Lindberg, and you can follow me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I will write the NXT hits and misses, but tonight I was on live report duty. Now, why am I on live report duty? Because, well, one is the loneliest number. I'm here by myself tonight, just me, myself, and I. So this is going to be a bit of a different show because I'm also on call tonight, and I got a couple things I need to attend to. So I need to try and make the show as quickly as possible because I don't have somebody I can dump it off on. So there we go. So here's what we're going to do for tonight. I'm going to hit the email, hit the mailbag. We got one email here from Kevin Catani. I'm then going to go over to the good Reverend Keith. We'll talk with him, and then we'll kind of talk about a couple of the things, wrap the show up. But it's probably going to be a little bit of a different show than normal, and a bit of a quick one here tonight. If you want to join our show, you can call us at 515-605-9345. You can just listen if you'd like, or you can hit one to let me know that you want to be on. That you want to be on the show. It'll flag your number on the switchboard. Or if you don't want to call in but you still want to be part of the show, you can certainly email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com, just like Kevin Catani did, who also bailed on me tonight. He was supposed to be here, and he bailed on me a half an hour into NXT tonight, guys. What a guy. What a guy. But you know what, Kevin? We love you. I'm not going to give you too much crap. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Kevin says, salutations, gents. I hope this email finds you well. I've been reading lately that NXT talent will be eligible for the upcoming draft. Based on tonight's show and the last few post-Mania shows, who do you think is most likely to end up on Raw or SmackDown? Thanks, as always. Go VIP and listen to 8YB. Office hours are now over. The Professor Kevin P. Catani, PhD. So, before I decided to come live here and hit the record button, I took a quick look through the NXT roster and to see, you know, who really stood out to me. Grayson Waller, you know, clearly stands out to me. Actually, you know, even before I get into that, let me back up a little bit here. We've got the draft coming up starting on Friday. I believe it's this coming Friday. It's not this Friday. It's next Friday. But we also have spring break coming up next week as well. So, it's next Friday. So it's right after spring break. So you can kind of end a couple storylines here. Like Grayson Waller could end his storyline at spring break. Braun Breaker, he's in a match against Andre Chase. I mean, is anybody even really looking forward to that? He's not really going to be doing much of anything. So I don't know. I keep going back and forth with Breaker because I think even last week I said that I want to see him have a bit of a lengthy heel run here in NXT, just to kind of see how he can cut his chops as a heel. We really didn't like what he brought to the table as babyface, at least here on this show anyway. And I think kind of, general consensus overall with a lot of, at least the hardcore fans anyway, he didn't really have a good babyface run. So, I keep going back and forth. Do I want him to stay here in NXT, hone his heel skills, put on a little bit more black clothing to let us know he's a heel and kind of develop that? Or do I want him to just go up to the main roster where I almost want to say he kind of belongs? His promo ability, he's screaming and yelling all the time, but he's a Steiner. I don't think his promos are going to get much better than they are. So I'm kind of torn. It's like 50-50 whether I think he should really go up or not. I think if gun to my head or something like that, I'd say send him up. But I think it's probably time. Like I said, also Grayson Waller, I don't think he's going to win the title off of Carmelo Hayes. There's no way Carmelo Hayes loses his first defense of the NXT title. I keep wanting to say North American title because I just associate that title with Hayes. But I don't think there's any chance that Grayson Waller is going to defeat Carmelo Hayes here for the NXT title. It's, like I said, way too early into Carmelo Hayes's run. And I think Carmelo Hayes is being positioned to be a very strong NXT champion. At least that's my perception so far. So I can't see him losing it. So Grayson Waller, as as Carmelo Hayes pointed out tonight during the main event segment, which we haven't quite talked about yet, but I'm sure we will in a little bit. But as Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams pointed out tonight, Grayson Waller doesn't really have any achievements down in NXT. Sure, he hosted Halloween Havoc once as a vampire with LA Knight, you know, and he's had a few main event matches or whatever, but he hasn't captured any gold. He hasn't, won a breakout tournament or, a dusty tag. Yeah, that reminds me, we haven't had a dusty tag in a while. We're due for one. Anyway, so with Waller not really doing all that much down at, well, I shouldn't say as not doing all that much, but not having many accolades down at NXT, I feel like he's kind of like almost in that like Alexa Bliss or Becky Lynch spot where, in NXT, they flourished. They, had main event matches, but they never quite captured the gold. And I think that might be kind of a similar thing for Grayson Waller. He's going to go up to the main roster. And I think he's going to kill it. We're seeing that with LA Knight right now. You can draw some comparisons to Grayson Waller and LA Knight. Totally different characters, but at the, they're great talkers. They know how to get under your skin if they want to, or they know how to actually build you up and get you into the match and get you behind them. We're seeing it with LA Knight right now, I think with the Machine and hopefully the Triple H led Machine behind Grayson Waller, I think he's got the potential to be a great annoying heel on the main roster. Obviously with Roman Reigns as the champion and as a heel champion, I don't know if he'll necessarily be up in the main event scene or anything like that yet, but certainly in like the US title scene or Intercontinental scene for sure. The other person I want to talk about, a little man named Cameron Grimes. I was trying to think of the lyrics to his entrance music. I've only listened to it 1,000 times in 2K23 this year. We haven't heard from Cameron Grimes in a long time. He was posting on social media, some body pictures, and he looks great, in amazing shape. And I think I've read here and there, something about him looking at them looking to debut him on the main roster sooner rather than later. Again, I know that's something we've said a million times. I feel like we've been saying that. I've been saying that for 3 years at this point for Cameron Grimes to the main roster. But I think it might actually be happening, or at least sooner rather than later. Another person that stood out to me, somebody we haven't seen in a while, and I honestly had time to look into it, but I should have before I started this, but another one's Roderick Strong. We haven't seen him, heard from him at all since his little thing with, Diamond Mine. Are they going to – Diamond Mine. I'm not Bruce. I shouldn't say Mind. Diamond Mine. Are they going to break up? Won't they break up? What are they going to do? We haven't seen him since then. I don't know what his standing is with the company right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just kind of writing out his contract before, like, maybe showing up with his buddies in AEW or something like that. I've also talked about him potentially, the idea of him potentially even staying on, excuse me, in a non-talent role, as a trainer or a producer or something like that. I think he'd be amazing in that role. I'll give credit where credit's due. I think it was either Kelly or Bruce that said, that brought that up at one point, but I'm not going to steal their idea, but I do like the idea. And I think that's a great, great move for him. But like I said, Roderick Strong, that's like a complete outlier. I'm just like, hey, we haven't seen him in a while. Maybe cause they're building him up to the main roster. Doubt it. But hey, if there's a chance, whatever, I'll at least bring it up. On the women's side of things, there's a few, not as many that I see, at least just looking up and down the roster, anything that really stands out to me. The first one, and I'm kind of torn on this idea because I like the idea because I'd love to see her on the main roster and see her have some amazing matches with, like Becky Lynch and Charlotte and all of the amazing women that we have on the main roster right now. But I also love the fact that she's the final boss of NXT, Mako Satomura. Why not? She's the final boss of NXT. She could go up to main roster and if booked correctly, have a very dominant run. Where she is, more of a veteran, maybe help get some of the other talent over. I'd like to see her have a bit of a dominant run before she starts putting talent over. But I think you guys know what I'm saying. The other two that stick out to me from the women's division to potentially go up to Raw or SmackDown during the draft, Casey Carter. Casey, geez, you guys know what I'm talking. I still want to call her Casey Catanzaro. Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. If I say it slowly, all of the kuh sounds won't screw me up. But, you know, they've been in NXT for since the dawn of time, and they've really grown as a tag team from, you know, just kind of two women floundering in the women's division. If memory serves, I think they were just, like, thrown together at one point. I don't remember. I'm sure Bruce or Kelly would have corrected me if they were here. But from just kind of this fledgling tag team to becoming NXT tag team champions and becoming one of the, you know, one of like the more popular acts, I think, within NXT, you know, certainly not of the caliber of, you know, like, you know, Carmelo Hayes or anything like that. But I know for me personally, I very much enjoyed seeing the two of them, you know, in tag team action, you know, like defending their titles and things like that. When they did defend their titles every once in a while, it would, they'd go like 30 days or something like that without defending them. But you guys know what I'm talking about. So I think that that kind of, that's what those are the people that stick out to me anyway for, you know, potential call-ups, during the draft. You know, so yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm curious to see if this draft really is going to shake up the landscape of Raw and SmackDown. A lot of times some of these drafts, they're, you know, they switch maybe a couple names around here and there, but some of them are largely inconsequential. I'm curious to see how this one plays out. Something's telling me it might be a little bit more consequential, but hey, something also told me Cody Rhodes is going to beat Roman Reigns and become, you know, the undisputed Universal Champion. And here we are. So with that, let me go ahead and say hello to Reverend Keith. Keith, I think you can hear me.
Yes, sir. How are you tonight, Nate?
I am not doing bad. Not doing bad. How about yourself, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for taking my call. On the topic
Indeed.
Of Grayson Waller, he gives everyone their best match. He kind of reminds me of Dolph Ziggler on the main roster. Over the years,
yeah.
Dolph would take everyone to the limit. He would make them shine like a diamond, as the boys in the back like to say. And I can see Grayson Waller doing that on the main roster as well. You know, he can come up, he can talk, he's arrogant, but he can back it up. So I can see him even being positioned in the role of a future Intercontinental Champion or United States Champion. I don't think that Triple H or Vince McMahon especially would anoint him as a world champion. He's not in that bracket. But I could see him winning the Intercontinental title. So it would be good to see Grayson Waller called up to the main. Which show would you like to see him on, Raw or SmackDown?
Well, it all depends. It all depends on what happens with the draft, and, you know, how big the shakeups are going to be. I think as it stands right now, maybe SmackDown. I'd have to actually think about that a little bit more, but maybe SmackDown. But I think it's really going to depend on, you know, how things shake up with, you know, with the draft and, you know, who winds up on what show. You know, I'm trying to think of some faces he could work with off the top of my head. But of course my brain isn't working that well right now. It's been a very, very long day. I started working at 6:30 this morning. I stopped working about 15 minutes before NXT started, and here I am. But I'm going to say I'd like to see, as things stand right now, I'd like to see him on SmackDown. I do like what you said too about him potentially being on, you know, being a future IC or US champion easily. I think that I could see him in bracket. I could even see him with maybe one token WWE run, kind of like the Miz's run back in the day, not his more recent run, but back in, I think, what WrestleMania 20. So maybe something akin to that, because I, you know, there's a lot of comparisons to the Miz and Grayson Waller. So I could kind of see him maybe doing that so he could at least poke, like, well, I'm a former WWE champion. And it's like, well, dude, you held the title for, what, 5 days or something like that? But I agree with you. I don't see him as any sort of a at least as it stands right now, you know, long-term champion anyway.
He could have some banger matches on SmackDown with a returning Kofi Kingston, Ricochet, among others, you know, because he can work well with almost any of the high flyers, even Santos Escobar.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be a good match. Definitely, I would love to see that.
100%.
Now, to help you out a little bit, I know you brought up Caden Carter and Katana Chance. They were actually thrown together, like you said. I remember they used to be in backstage segments.
I thought so.
And they were just thrown together, you know, just out of promo segments, and it ended up working out. And, you know, they've been in NXT for a long time, just like Indy Hartwell. So it would be nice to have them called up. But my thing is, I would rather not see any of the men or women called up unless they're going to be utilized, because you, especially with the women, because you have so many women on both SmackDown and Raw, which are not even being used. Like some of them women, like Zali, you might see her once a month, or Lacey Evans once a month, and it's kind of sad. So we'll have to see how it goes. You know, you may have a point that, you know, this year's draft could end up being inconsequential for NXT, but we hope that at least a few will get called up. You know, it may not be 8 to 10, but if you could just maybe promote 5, you know, like Grayson Waller, Cameron Grimes, certainly is overdue. I do think they'll keep Braun down there for a little longer, you know, since he's just turning heel. You know, you want to get him his role cemented in NXT before calling him up to the main, so that he can garner that heel heat once he comes up to the main roster. So right now I just think they're going to keep him down there for a while, and he'll be feuding with different baby faces to put them over, I guess, and we'll see where that goes. Another thing I wanted to mention about tonight's show, I thought it was odd, they had, I counted, 9 different promo segments, including backstage interviews with Mackenzie Mitchell, the parking lot segment with JC Jane that she was pulling off, the restaurant segment at the end with Stax and Tony D. I mean, the list goes on and on. It was just so much talking. I calculated a sub 48 minutes of total wrestling time within the 2 hour span. I'm not sure if you calculated the minutes, but I calculated a sub 48. I might be off a little, but it was weird because everything led up to next week's show. It was almost like they just kind of, you know, put this in the bag for the night and said, okay, we're just going to build towards next Tuesday night. Did you get that impression?
No, honestly, I did. You know, you're pretty much spot on. It did about 48 minutes of wrestling time tonight. Everything did kind of seem like it was building to spring breaking. Yeah. It's such a stupid name. I can't remember it. Spring breaking. And what really kind of got me too, is there were so many different angles that were like, okay, let's have a match next week at spring breaking. It's like, why even bother having this PLE light, this named show, if you've got, Battleground coming up right here in Lowell, Massachusetts. Battleground coming up like right around the corner. Why not just build of that rather than throw this random show in here where you've got to spend the week before justifying why you're putting on this show? So yeah, I definitely hear you there. There was a lot of talking and a lot of building to next week. Very, very light on the wrestling this week. And what we saw was, I wasn't super impressed with maybe the exception of the Dempsey match. But, you know, for the most part, it was just kind of, you know, mediocre wrestling and a lot of story development to next week.
Certainly, and I think it will be a good show, but I just felt like it was a little overkill on the promos tonight, you know. They did have a few good matches. I thought the Dijak-Cruz match exceeded expectations in my book.
I'll give you that.
Yes, it was a very good match from start to finish. Of course, they had the two women's matches, Roxanne Perez going over with the Pop Rocks over Zoe Stark. And then you had the other match, which was destroyed by the outside interference of one J.C. Jane, which I knew was happening. You know, poor Booker T, you know, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that was actually kind of funny to see, but at the same time, like, you know, definitely glad everybody's okay. Definitely glad everybody's okay.
Yes, and I just want to offer my services to you. If you're ever in a bind and you need a co-host, feel free to get in contact with me. I'll definitely step in for Doc Bruce or Kelly or Kevin Catani. If you ever need me, you know how to contact me. You can DM me or reach me through the torch. I would love to be on the show.
All right, man. Well, I certainly appreciate it. Next time we're in a bind, I will keep that in mind.
Yes, sir. And thanks for taking my call, Nate. You get your rest, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Keith. Thank you very much. Pleasure as always, my friend.
Thanks.
All right. Whoop. I didn't mean to cut you off as you were saying thank you, but I did. I'm sorry. Anyway, so let's move on a little bit here. So I do want to talk a little bit about the main event, a main event angle here tonight. I'm not looking at my report. I'm looking at Bruce's report from last week, but we had Grayson Waller and Carmelo Hayes in the Waller Effect segment, Grayson Waller Effect segment, essentially hyping their match for Spring Break. And, you know, like I said, the segment itself I thought was actually pretty good. The two of them, or actually the three of them, including Trick Williams, essentially going back and forth. What I really expected was some sort of like a physical altercation, like Grayson Waller maybe getting a little bit too cocky and you know, punching Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams getting involved, and then maybe like the two of them taking out Grayson Waller. But that also doesn't follow the kind of traditional wrestling trope of whoever gets the kind of the visual win on the go home show is probably going to lose at the PLE or pay per view or whatever we're calling them nowadays. And as I said earlier, Grayson Waller, I don't think he's going to wind up going over here tonight or going over next week here at Spring Break. And but yeah, this is, like I said, it was definitely a good segment. And I think, you know, especially to hype up the main event for Spring Break. And now, usually when I'm trying to find something, I can throw to a co-host and stall for time, but I can't do that here tonight. So let's see, what else do we have here tonight? I'm only going to bring up a couple more things because unfortunately I do have to get back to work. Behind the curtains, my company threw me into a 3-day long production the meeting, like for 1,000 people, and I'm essentially acting as a producer and director without knowing how to act as a producer and director. So yeah, it's been weird. It's been very weird, but enjoyable. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. But strange and very stressful. I'm shocked that I'm even able to compose myself here tonight to do this. Let's talk. One of the matches that Keith did bring up that did actually stand out tonight was Dijak versus Apollo Crews. Going into this match, as Keith said, you know, his standards were low going into this. I'm kind of on board with that too. Going into the match, I wasn't quite sure how to feel about it. I typically like Apollo Crews matches. I typically like Dijak matches, but it's, I don't know, for some reason I wasn't super jazzed about the match. When it was made earlier in the night, you saw Dijak coming into the building. He got angry and kind of assaulted a cameraman. Apollo Crews saw it, told him he was out of line, and challenged him to a match here. I don't know if it was just kind of weird and I don't know. I'm not sure how I liked that angle with Dijak kind of pushing the camera guy. It just seemed a little cheesy and over the top to me. So I guess maybe that's why I wasn't really super jazzed about this match coming into it, because it was just kind of a weird angle. And then, of course, Apollo Crews just happens to be at the right place, the right time to stand up for an injustice, you know? So whatever. But when they actually got in the ring, this match was really good. I think it was, I wouldn't say it was one of the best matches that either man had ever had, but I think Dijak took a lot of offense, took a lot of offense from Apollo Crews here, more so than I think I expected. But he still picked up a dominant win, and because he did take so much offense from Apollo Crews, Apollo Crews still looked strong coming out of the match, even if he did take a loss. And he still looks like a bit of a hero because he stood up for an injustice. Unfortunately, in the books, it says he does have that loss, so is what it is. But I kind of think this isn't necessarily going to be the end of the Dijak and Apollo Crews saga here. We also had Charlie Dempsey versus Wes Lee for the North American Championship. I definitely enjoyed this match. This may not be a match for everybody. There was a lot of rest holds. I say rest holds, working holds, I guess maybe is better. That's the correct term or whatever. I don't know. But, we saw a lot of different, a lot of headlocks, arm locks, a lot of working, Wes Lee working Charlie Dempsey, or sorry, other way around, Charlie Dempsey working Wes Lee's arm. So like a lot of old school wrestling here, which you expect out of Charlie Dempsey, mixed in with Charlie also kind of can do some aerobatic wrestling, as can Wes Lee. So there was a lot of that here tonight. And I thought they pulled it off really well. Wes Lee did pick up the win here, after some interference from Drew Gulak, which was expected with, Drew Gulak, sitting ringside. I didn't expect the interference from Gulak to allow Dempsey to pick up a win. So I figured it was going to be Wes Lee walking out victorious here. Plus, Charlie Dempsey and Drew Gulak, they know their place on the card. Their place on the card is certainly lower than where Wes Lee's at. Let's see. We also had JC Jane interfering in the match between Gigi Dolin and Cora Jade. Her interference did wind up in a win for Cora Jade, but Gigi Dolin did not allow that interference to really, get her down, if you will. I'm trying to figure out a better phrase, but man, I'm tired. But basically, Gigi Dolin just attacked JC Jane after Jane tried to interfere. And as Keith brought up earlier, Jane was thrown into the announce table and basically landed in Booker T's lap. So, there's that. A little bit comedic, and glad everybody's okay. So it's more comedic because everybody's okay. They even made a little Vic Joseph even made a little acknowledgement to it in the next. I think it was the next segment after commercial break. You're saying he's glad Booker T's okay. But the match between Gigi Dolin and Cora Jade was also a little bit better than I expected. Again, as I alluded to tonight, a lot of the wrestling here was, okay. It wasn't great. It was okay. But this was a match that I think was a little bit better than I expected. Mostly because, Gigi Dolin, I like Gigi Dolin. I think she's the better of the three out of everybody in Toxic Attraction on the mic and in the ring. But sometimes in the ring, she doesn't always lay things in, even the way she, runs the ropes, just kind of like turns and kind of like bounces off them. There's that. And the same thing kind of with Cora Jade, she's still getting her feet wet, especially as a heel. I think they kind of pulled it off here in this match. A couple spots was a little bit clunky, but for the most part, I think they did shine here tonight. It essentially just kind of, served as a way to move the Gigi Dolin and JC Jane storyline forward. Let's see. I think with that, kind of looking at the time, and I hate to wrap things up so soon, but unfortunately I have a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it and sleep. So I'm Nate Lindberg. You can follow me on Twitter @NateLindberg. I write the NXT hits and misses. Tonight I didn't, but I did write the live report in place for Kelly or Bruce. One of the two of them were on the report. Don't know which, but they weren't here, so I did it. One of the two of them said they'd get the hits and misses up for me later on in the week, so hopefully they will. If not, maybe I'll come back and rewrite it. I know I didn't get a hits and misses up last week either because of another meeting that I got pulled into that was like 2 days long. I'm in a new role at work, guys. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So I apologize, but, you know, is what it is there. So, like I said, hopefully next week we'll be back to a normal show. Bruce and Kelly, hopefully we'll be back, and we will see you in seven. Take care, everybody.